Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you being here with us, all of you that are watching and everyone that's here. So happy Father's Day once again. We appreciate our fathers. Hallelujah. If you're a father today, stand up, please. Let's give our fathers a great big hand. Hallelujah. We appreciate you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's good to have my dad here. And he's looking sharp this morning. Amen. He's doing good. I am so pleased to say that my dear sister is here with us this morning. She texted me this past week and said, I'm going to surprise Dad and be in church on Sunday just for Father's Day. And I said, if you're there, you're coming, please do a song for us and dedicate it to him. And so, hallelujah. So would you please come? Hallelujah. I said a song. If you desire to do a concert, go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have got to say that I just love worship here. There's nothing like it. I've been a bunch of places. Worship here is awesome. Just awesome. I can't start crying. I won't be able to sing very much. So thank you for the worship, right? And I'm so looking forward to hearing my brother this morning. But I came here to surprise Daddy. Amen, he said. So I was thinking this week of memories of Daddy, right? And so some of my earliest memories of Daddy is I looked up the movie, and it was in 1969 it came out, Frosty the Snowman. And so I had to be 5 years old. And I remember losing it when Frosty melted. I lost it. I mean, little Karen had nothing on me. And I remember sitting on the floor. We were in a little two-bedroom, one-bath house in Lehigh, sobbing. And Daddy reached down and scooped me up and put me in his lap and said, wait, Dee Dee, wait, it's not over, right? And calmed me down. And so then the next memory that I want to share, and I won't go through all of them, but it's just two. It's so good. I remember in Lehigh, there are some back roads in Lehigh. I don't know if you all have ever seen it before. And I asked Gerald if they were still there. He said they fixed most of them, but there's a few of them still there, he thinks. But those roads will go like this. I don't know, has anybody ever been on them? They are fun, right? So Daddy took me, right? And it is an old green truck. I loved his green truck. I was riding with him. I don't know why it was just me and you, Daddy. Just me and you. And I remember that I was so little that I was standing up next to him in the cab. Right? Seat belts weren't a thing then. Just no judgment. And Daddy had his arm around me though, and I was his seat. He was my seat belt. And we went like this, right? And you couldn't have taken me to Disney World. That was the greatest, right? The thing about that is I don't know what age I was then. But I had to be so little that I was standing up. For you fathers this morning, I want you to know something. Those are treasures that I hold in my heart of my father spending time with me and comforting me, right? Those little things are never lost on your children, right? Amen. Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So, amen. Amen. So good. It is so good to talk about my Heavenly Father. Amen. I'm going to talk about my Heavenly Father this morning before I'm going to take off my shoes. I sing better when I'm barefoot. So a few years ago, and most of you have heard this song, but I'm going to sing it. I figured I sing Worthy of It All, and I'm so glad the boys did it this morning. I just love those two boys, and now their wives and seeing their family is just awesome. But I remember I was singing last night. I got to put this in here. I remember when the Lord laid it on my heart, y'all's anointing for worship. And I called my brother and I said, man, they've got it. That's your future worship leaders, right? And that's called by God, right? And it just blesses me so. But several years back, this must have been, 15, 20, maybe 15. I don't know. I was in Alva, living in Alva. And I couldn't get my spirits up. Could not get my spirits up. And, you know, the Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, right? So the Holy Spirit brought that to my mind, and he said to me, Deanne, praise me. Well, y'all know most of y'all, some of y'all. I grew up Southern Gospel, so I started singing some of those good old Southern Gospel songs that I love so much. There's joy in the camp, the sinner has come home. It didn't do it for me. I leaned to the house and I said, Lord, what do you want? You said to praise you. And he said to me, you know, when somebody says to you, think fast, right off the top of your head, in your spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit kind of said to me, right? And so when he did, that's just what I did. Out of my inner heart, my belly, right, flows. And I began to worship him. And I said, he died for me. He gave me life. He healed my body with his own sacrifice. And he talks to me each morning with new mercies for my day, and gives me his word to light my way. Ain't God wonderful? Ain't God grand? Ain't God wonderful? Hallelujah again. Ain't God wonderful? Ain't God wonderful? Hallelujah again. Take a moment and think of all he's done. How he met your need, or when he sent to you someone. I have good plans for you, declares the Lord. That makes me want to praise him even more and more. Ain't God wonderful? Ain't God grand? Ain't God wonderful? Hallelujah again. Ain't God wonderful? Ain't God grand? Ain't God hallelujah again, Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
So what am I supposed to do with it now? Hallelujah. Oh, I don't need to turn that off. Wonderful. Presence. That's what we're after, is presence. Hallelujah. Well, the people that make me a father are here today, both my daughters, and the 24th of this month, Candy and I will be married 46 years, and hallelujah, 46 more times in love with her today than I was the day I married her, hallelujah, or 1,000 times. She gave me 2 great and wonderful gifts, 2 wonderful daughters, and they're here today, and I'm so thankful they're serving the Lord, and both of them part of the ministry here. It's just a blessing. Hallelujah. One of them is going to come and share for just a few moments. My oldest daughter, Amber, please. Hallelujah.
Go. And today's my birthday.
Oh, I was going to get to that.
And it's Silas. And the reason I'm telling you that is my birthday present is my aunt being here. Me and her have always had a super special bond. So it was such a blessing to see her this Sunday morning. I'm going to try to get through this without being emotional. I didn't know Dad was going to call me up so soon. Thought I had about 5 more minutes. But I shared all this with Dad yesterday, and he said, yes, tell it. So I'm going to get a little personal with you guys, but we're all family, right? So I'm going to tell you a story, and it's kind of the story of the first time I ever saw Mike, and that's how it's going to tie into Father's Day. But to do that, I need to go back to November 2009. It was an amazing time in my life. If anybody knows me personally, you know I was going through a divorce at that time, but it had started a few months prior, and it was like I had gotten a spiritual shot of Novocaine. It ended up being one of the most joyous times, and it wasn't because that was over. It was because I went to God at that time, and I said, I've had good and acceptable. I've lived in the good and acceptable. I am done with good and acceptable. I want your perfect will, and I'm just going to keep seeking you till I get it. So at that moment, or that time, I hadn't spoken with my ex-husband for probably 2 or 3 months. We were just kind of waiting for everything to be finalized, and everything was okay with that situation. And it was at my house in Felda on my lanai, and I was doing my prayer time. And it was early in the morning, and I was going back between worship and praying in tongues. And I was just having a good time in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit very clearly said, I want you to call him, and I want you to tell him that you forgive him, that you love him, and throughout your life, you're going to be praying for him. And I said, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm at a good place. I'm happy. There's no reason to do that. So I fought with it for maybe 20 minutes, and I thought, God, if you really want me to do this, I will do it, but I do not want to do that. But I did, and it wasn't so much about what was said to him, and the conversation was very quick, went well, but it was about being obedient. And so I did that, and right when I did that, and I hung up, something happened to me that never happened before. I started praying in tongues, but it was a different type of praying in tongues. It sounded different. And it was just full of deep emotions. In that moment, I was healed. And to the point where me and him could go to lunch together, it'd be like seeing a brother. There is no animosity at all there, which is amazing. But
as I was praying and doing that, it was the first time I ever had a vision. And I'm not some weirdo that has visions all the time. Since 2009, there's only been 7 of them. And so they are very special to me. And they're not something that happens to me a lot. But this was the first time it ever happened. And I'm sitting there, I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, it was just like my mind went somewhere else. And I could see. It was like it was in New York City. It looked like New York City. It was just a busy city. And in front of me, I could see my ex-husband. He was walking. And he reached down into his pocket, and he pulled out 5 rocks. And I could count them in the vision. And for this to make sense, you need to know at that time I had guardianship of my 4 nieces and nephews. So together, there was 4 of us plus me. That equals the 5. And he looked at them, and he was like, oh, I'm carrying around these burdens. And he threw them down on the ground. And I'm like, what am I looking at, Lord? And right about that time, somebody else who I couldn't see, it was just the back of a man. He ran up and he scooped him up. And when he picked up, I'm not going to get emotional. When he picked up these rocks, they were diamonds. And he said, oh my God, somebody just threw down diamonds. Look at this treasure. And I thought, oh my God. And God said, this is who's coming. There's somebody coming. He's not just for you. He's picking you all up and you will be seen as treasure. And I thought, I held on to that. And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. And I thought, that's who's coming. I'm living in I got the perfect will of the Lord. I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for that. Well, fast forward 1.5 years, due to circumstances I had put myself in, I thought I missed it. I thought, well, that was the perfect. I didn't get that. I'm in the acceptable again. I'll live in the acceptable, Lord. So I'm 7 months pregnant with Aubrey, and I was driving home from Kirsten's house, and she's my best friend, and many of you know her. She's wonderful. And I was just worshiping again. We had spent an evening together. Mike was on duty at the fire station, and God brought that vision back. And I thought, Lord, why are you showing me this again? And he said, Amber, do you really think all those hours you spent with me praying were wasted? He said, you might have rushed your destiny, but you didn't miss it. This was always who was coming. And I thought, oh, God, that helps me so much. That helps me so much, Lord. So that's the story of the first time I ever saw Mike. And it was before I even met him. But I will tell you, when I met him and we started getting serious, I said, you need to know that I come with 4 Mexican kids. And I said, it's not, they're not adopted. They're not my nieces and nephews. They are my kids. And I said, God planted them in my heart, and it was just like if I had given birth to them. And I said, what I'm saying is, they weren't at that time living at the house. They had gone on with their mom for about 1 year at that point. And I said, but if they call me and they say, T, I need McDonald's, and it's 9 o'clock at night if I'm hungry, that's what's happening. And I said, if they call me and they said, I need to come home because I'm their home. I've always been their home. I said, if they need that, that's what's happening. And he didn't hesitate. He said, I can love everybody. So, and we have tested that. We thank you for being the father to the ones that aren't yours and the fathers to the ones that are. So that's that part of it. thank you. The next part of what I want to share is about dad. So, and I'm going to try to get through this. I think you can get through all of it except for the end, but I'm going to try. This is a letter. It's not a poem, but it does have a title, and it's called Looking at You, Looking at Him. Dad, I had no plans to say anything this Father's Day until about 2 weeks ago when our family walked into church a few minutes after it had started. We walked to the front like we normally do, and as the kids were exchanging their pleasantries with Nana, I glanced at you. You were lost in worship, your face and palms tilted towards heaven like you normally are at that time. As I looked at you, the thought crossed my mind that standing there like that, you were kind of like a metaphor for a lot of moments in my life. I've always been looking at you, looking at him. There's so many times in my life where I can say this is true. I guess one of the earliest times is the fact that I can't even remember when I got filled with the Spirit. I know I was around 3 years old because that's what you and Mom tell me. I do remember sitting outside your office door praying in tongues just because I could hear you doing it. That was me looking at you, looking at him. Then there are all those times I've called you and said, Dad, what do you think of this? What's your opinion? What do you feel in the Spirit? All those times you would give me your opinion. But the answer always ended with, pray about it and he'll give you the answer. That was always the best answer, because you taught me how to go to God and have a relationship with Him myself. And that's what truly makes life worth living. Children learn by watching us and doing what we do, not doing what we tell them to do. So thank you for every time I looked at you and you were looking at him. I spoke with Davy yesterday and I asked her if there was anything that she'd like me to add. She said one of her favorite memories of you was on her wedding day. It had always been her dream to get married on the beach. And as luck would have it, it was raining like crazy that day. They were supposed to get married in about an hour and you came to her and asked to speak with her away from the wedding party. You let her know that it was coming down to the wire, and if she really wanted to get married on the beach, that you were about to do some serious praying. We're not sure what you said to the Lord that day, but we all know that you found favor. Because my little sister walked down that beach and got married, with the sun shining through the clouds. We've all got the most beautiful pictures to prove it. As soon as the wedding was over and we all got back inside, the rain came down again, but she had had her moment. That's because we were always looking at you, looking at him. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks, Davy and Amber. Testing. There we go. Thanks, Davy and Amber. Well, if any of you guys were around the day that Davy and Watson got married, that was an incredible miracle. The wedding planner, Kenny, and I had, you know, we had done our best to provide whatever we could with hiring a good wedding planner. It was at one of the resorts on the beach, and a Northwesterner. I don't know if you know what a Northwesterner is. It's a cold front coming in out of the Northwest, and it was just black, and it was in December. It was one of those times where it just rains all day, and it rained all the day from the time I left Immokalee, headed there, and it was coming in, the wind, the rain, and the wedding planner came to me just a little bit before. And she goes, you know, we can set up chairs in here. We got to have an alternate plan. We need to make the decision now if we're going to do it. I said, so I went to the Lord, and I knew that was one of those times where it was one of those Elijah start and stop the rain. I knew that we had favor with God. And I commanded and did my proclamation in the spirit, and it just absolutely stopped. And the sun came out. Is that right, Renee? Sun came out, and I was able to do the ceremony, and as soon as I said, they said I do, and I pronounced them man and wife, and they started back in, here it comes, one more time. And the people, there were people come out on the balconies and watched, and they came to the wedding planner. They said, that was the most amazing thing we've ever seen. We've never seen anything like that. That rain stopped just long enough for that marriage ceremony to take place, and as soon as it was over, bam, it came again. So it was a testimony to the world. Hallelujah. We want to say happy birthday to Mr. Ralph. Hallelujah. So, man, he looks good for 39, doesn't he? He's doing really good. Any other June, before I mention a couple more, any other June right here? Who, David? On the 25th. Happy birthday, David. Awesome, man. Awesome. Now, it used to be, and you'll understand this, it used to be Amber's birthday today, this June 16th. It used to be. Well, how could it not be? Well, because now it's Silas's birthday. He was born on June 16th. And so, Silas, would you please come here, please? And would you turn this way? And would you all, and you can all sing, this will be for everybody, but we're spotlighting Silas this morning. Because it's Silas's birthday, everybody. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Silas. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Hallelujah. That guy's talking like crazy, man. Oh, my God. Trenton's doing good, man. So, hallelujah. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to give. And I'm speaking to the camera and speaking to everyone in here, and then you'll have an opportunity to give, and then we'll dismiss our children. Let me say something that is really, I remember I said this, and yet I'm like the prophet Jeremiah, that like there's a fire shut up in my bones. I cannot not say this because I'm compelled to the Lord. I said there was two times I mentioned an offering participation in the sign. Now, some of you, and I'm not making an indictment, I'm just saying sometimes you can't see something until it's done, and then you're thinking, or you see what it's purposed for, and then you're like, wow, that really was something from God. So many of you know that we're in contract with a sign company out of Sarasota that's, you know, there's two, I don't know, there may be more, but the only other big electronical sign that I know of is the big one coming in on the south side that the Indians have for the casino. So they're saying, let us take your money. We're putting up a big electronic sign. Well, I say big, not by way of comparison to what they've got, but we're hoping, we're trying to work with the county. It'll be up 16 feet tall, which they'll be able to see it coming from both ways, and it'll be electronic. It'll be putting out a message, whatever we program it for, and it'll, you know, of course, it'll have our church and all that. But so I don't know when we're working, you know, on a continual basis. Harry's staying in contact with a company, and they send me stuff to sign off for commencement and different things, giving them authorization. So it may still be, you know, a few months. If you know anything about Collier County, it takes a few months. And they're contracted with a permitting company that is familiar with Collier County. So a lot of the stuff that they needed was on the front end to make sure that we get this really nice sign. Some of you may think, well, what a sign, and we told you what it was, and it's quite a bit of money. But we don't do anything around here to increase attendance. All that we do is to increase the kingdom of God. I'll say that again, to increase the kingdom of God. And whatever we do is birthed in prayer. In other words, the Holy Spirit will come to me and speak to me as he does, interrupt me on things like this. Mark it down. Now, we're not having this sign so we can put cute little church sign things on it, like, you know, seven days of no prayer makes a week. What makes one week? Those are cute. But we're going to put things on there like, we pray for the sick here. If you're depressed, we pray for those that are depressed. You're going to have people that come in here and say, I was driving by that sign, and I saw it. We pray for the depressed in here. And I was going home to take my own life, and I saw your sign, and I pulled in here. And some of you are going to say, thank God I gave. When you hear their testimony, or somebody comes in here and says, I was just driving by, I didn't even, this place looked like, you know, it's a funny roof. It doesn't even look like a church to me. It's really funny. I thought it was a mausoleum or some goofy thing. I thought you guys were a cult until you put on their God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for you. And they're able to read those few things, and they come in here and say, I didn't know who you guys were. Hallelujah. I met some lady at the bank the other day. She knows the Plamondon, and she goes, I've been scared to come over there, but I've been wanting to come. She goes, there's that. I said, yeah, I'm. She goes, you know, that guy that's, she told me, she says, his name's Flint Bronk or something like that. I said, no, it's Bronk Flint. I'm him. I said, come over. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. So good. Hallelujah. So people will look at the sign, and then so you can still give towards that. We've paid the big, or the half of it. You can still be a part of it. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Immokalee is saved. This region is saved. And the power of your Holy Spirit is manifest. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for this opportunity to give. If you need an offering envelope, there's one in front of you. Please get ready to give. And when you do, let's all stand together one more time. Hallelujah. Our children can be dismissed. And Marty, if you can give us something to bring this down with. And if you didn't hug somebody or shake a hand, do that right now. Once again, you get an opportunity to say Happy Father's Day to somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we worship you and thank you for this opportunity. As we speed forward to the opportunity to this third great awakening that's scheduled, this harvest, for the revival, for everything that you've placed in our hearts and very many other congregations coupled together across this nation. For those that are seeking you, we continue to seek you. We cry out for this great outpouring, for this great awakening, this third great awakening in America, and the harvest of the souls that will take place, the Reformation. Father, we give you all the praise and glory that we're alive today. That we're part of the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy, holy congregation of people. We set ourselves aside. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks, Harry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the name of Jesus. We look into the cameras to all the people that are watching this morning and will be watching throughout the week. And we appreciate you being with us. So much of you are just so family. We hear from so many of you, and we appreciate your part in this ministry and everything that you do. And for everyone that's here, we appreciate all of you so very, very much. And staying in prayer in these services and leading up to these services. We're thanking God more and more for the reality of what is and what is coming. For us to continue to say that he's about to. I like the word he's about to, because it's an expectation of hope. It's an expectation of hope. And hope gives an incentive to look for what is coming. But we want to realize the present. We want to realize what's happening right now. I want to continue on just a little bit for just a few moments of where we were at Wednesday night. And for that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We were in the last part of this chapter. And we will be again, because I think we'll read through the chapter, and then we've got some other portions of Scripture. Again, happy Father's Day. We appreciate all you fathers. This isn't necessarily a Father's Day message, but it is in the sense of the word that it includes all fathers and mothers and those going forward. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So let me just rehearse once again very quickly something that I did Wednesday night, and we hadn't talked about this in a long time. And by the way, I included this on this month's letter. I hope you get our monthly letters. You can afford them, because they're free. So just go to our website and sign up for those monthly teaching letters. They're usually coming out towards the middle of the month more now than at the beginning. So also, if you know Sunday night service tonight, if you didn't get our texts, maybe you're not signed up for it. We have a text system now. Do you remember what that number is? Anyway, I won't go there. I won't get involved in that. But we gave you a Q&R code that we put it up. And we can text anybody that has that on their phone at any time, give them special prayer requests or announcements, but no church tonight because of Father's Day. I rehearsed to you for a few moments Wednesday night, and again, included a little bit of it on this month's teaching, a vision that I remembered that Pastor Dave Roberson had many years ago, and I won't belabor that vision because we've already talked about it a lot, but in that he saw, and actually I was privy to being in the building just after he had seen the had the vision in a private place at Jim Martin's office. And I'll just tell you this, I'll be brief on it, but we came back and he was in a, he wasn't trying to act spooky spiritual, but he was kind of like in a in another world. And he said, I just went somewhere. And we said, where'd you go? We thought he was still in the building. And he was, but he said, I just went somewhere. And he was talking about that he just, he himself spiritually saw, I suppose it was an open vision. I can't confirm that. But he said, I went to a place where everything was done. And he wasn't talking about the culmination of the end of the age and the world ending. But he was talking about a place where not only he, but every believer can go to. And he said it was a room. It was like I stepped into a room. And when I stepped into this room, it wasn't that you had to even, what's the word I'm looking for? You didn't have to even believe. Belief was natural. It was like, and I know that we're all the just shall live by faith, and I understand we never lose faith, but he said it was an absolute, it was a place in absolute. Miracles just happened at the sense of such a natural, a naturalness. It was just, once you were in there, the faith and the operation of your life that it took to get to that place, stepping over into it was just like a breathability. You know, you just, like you breathe in air and you don't think about it, or you take a drink of water and you don't think about it. The place of walking in his, those fantastic miracles that we often tag with revival, it wasn't that you were laboring. It wasn't even a place of labor. It was just a place of absolute. And in that place of absolute, you knew it wasn't, you weren't even having to try to have faith anymore. Faith brought you there, but you were inside a bubble. That's probably not what he, I know that's not what he said, but you were inside a room that held such a presence with it that it, I'm trying to describe it, it inoculated you against the war of, will this happen? Will this happen? If I pray, will this happen? It was just an, he said, I was, he said, I can just tell you, he said, it was like I, if you took me in a car and took me, if I was headed to a children's hospital or a hospital, it was like, I'm getting there and there was no thought. It wasn't a braggadocious, like, okay, I'm going to do this and I can work myself up to it and say, I'm going to do, he said, I just knew absolutely I was going to go in there and empty the hospital. So we talked about that absolute place, and we'll mention it again in going, but I just felt like we should stay here for just a little bit this morning and move on to some other scripture here just to continue to talk about the present day call that we have and you have, those watching, and so many other places that are hearing the call for this outpouring. This outpouring is going to, it's going to progress. And I want you to see that we're going to see some scripture here that how that it is progressing, because we're not just saying something's about to come. Something has already come. I believe we're already in the edge waters of that great outpouring. But we've got to believe that it's going to increase, and we're going to see it increase. But what we're after is not just a whim, W-H-I-M, that's just to say it, it sounds like a weak word, whim. Whim. Whim is something that comes and goes. What we're describing and what Paul describes here is an exactness that you step over into a place. It's a progression. And this doesn't come, I said this Wednesday night, I think I should say it again. This doesn't come with, it does, the maturity of it, I should say that. The maturity of it doesn't come with just born again. In other words, I'm born again, so I've got all this. You've got it in seed form which can grow into maturity, but it has to grow into maturity, else Paul, this was a, in the latter part of this chapter, we see Paul praying a petitionary prayer. In other words, he's asking God for something, and he's bringing in the Ephesians to say, look, this is what I'm asking God for, Ephesians, that you progress into this place of love. And it's a room. And Dave said this, he said, I felt what I felt about this room more than anything else was the agape of God, the love of God. And that can sound so weak. I love you. Yes, I love you. But he wasn't talking about, and Paul is not describing here, this is not an emotion. It's far deeper than an emotion. It's not a whim. A whim is something that is an experience. And I love it. Great, wonderful experiences. But this is far greater than an experience that comes and goes. It's not a great worship service. It's not a great church service. It's not even an experience of a one-time experience in prayer. It's a place of maturity that builds on maturity, that builds on maturity, that comes to a place where you progressively step over more so into this great big room that Dave called the room of agape. It's a room where it's filled with the love of God. And it's not only filled, you begin to know how much he loves you. And if he loves you this much, he cannot fail you. And you begin to know that if he loves you this much, he's not going to leave you sick, diseased. And he doesn't want to leave anybody else sick and diseased. And the same power that flows, look, here's the joy of where we're headed. It's not just for this. You're going to, whoever you are, businessman, businesswoman, house mother, housewife, you are going to be used in these last days to put your hands on the sick and see incredible, notable miracles. Intercessors, you're going to pray in things that the world has never seen before. Hallelujah. And we're going to be part of this. And Dave affectionately called this the room of agape. Now, you can say, well, you could describe it a number of different ways. But it was a progressionary place that you stepped over into, and it was a place of maturity. But does Paul say the same? Does Paul give us scriptural evidence for that? Well, I believe so, and we covered that some Wednesday night. But I want to go to some other scripture. But let me just start reading in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And I hope you're looking at it in your Bible or smart device. If you've heard of the dispensation of grace, the grace of God, which is given unto me, to you word, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now watch this, and this is really neat. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent, why would he do all this? Why the gospel? Why all of us coming in? Part of this is for the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What does that mean? The intent of God is now that principalities and powers by the church should know what God's intention is in revealing it through his church. Hallelujah. Now, part of that is it's in two parts. It's to understand this. When you read through the book of Ephesians, you understand that principalities, powers, rulers of darkness are in two parts. There are the spirits of light, which were always created from the very beginning, principalities, powers, and rulers. Now there is principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in the dark side, okay? So now those are the ones that we war against, but the ones that were warring for us in heavenly places or staying stalwart in Christ or in light are those ones that were beginning from the very beginning. Now, Peter tells us, and you don't have to turn there. Stay in Ephesians, because I want you to stay there, because we're going to start reading there again. But Peter tells us this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto them. This is 1 Peter 1:10 through 12. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit that came upon them for prophecy, which was in them, did signify, which it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things, again, he's talking about which things the angels desire to look into. So we understand here from, we get an understanding from Peter, so we can understand what Paul is writing here. He's saying the angels of themselves are not infinite beings knowing everything. They are messengers, incredible, intelligent messengers, but on assignment. But God did not reveal everything concerning what he was going to do through the gospel and through the ecclesia or through the church to all the angels. He didn't have some great big seminar and say, okay, here's what he let them know in parts as they went along. And Peter says here, they have desired to look into this. That this mystery of Christ, which is being revealed in us and through the church, is being revealed on a place where these angelic beings are watching us. They're on assignment. But now they see what Christ did, and they're watching his glory take place in us. Now, on the other side of dark side, when it says on the intent now, how does he say that in Peter or in Ephesians? He says, to the intent now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Something is given by the church or presented by the church, be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. To who? The intent of principalities and powers. Now we know angels are enjoying this mystery unfold. They're watching the church. They're watching us. And they're on assignment with us. And so they're watching this, and the revelation that we are receiving that's being built by the, you know, the Word of God. And they've seen this come through the ages. They're watching this. But Paul says here that also that the intent was that God show the manifold wisdom, the manifold wisdom of all this mystery of Christ in us, to the intent that it's revealed to principalities and powers. Now, the other side is this. Have you ever heard the word or the expression, they schooled me, or he schooled me? The guys that, you know, are good in sports, they'll say, come on out to the basketball court, I'm going to school you. I'm going to teach you something. So God is saying here to this intent that the principalities and powers are an all evidential power being schooled by the church in this sense of the word. Can you imagine an Old Testament devil? Can you imagine an Old Testament devil come up to, I mean, they don't ever die, right? But I'm going to classify as an Old Testament devil. And he comes up, he's living, you know, the principle of binding and loosing was in the Old Testament, right? David said to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with the fetters of iron. That principle, but the power of it was in total effect until Jesus Christ. Can you imagine after Jesus tells Peter, on this I'll build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Can you imagine principalities over a region, Old Testament principalities, reigning and ruling right up till the day after the cross? And then all of a sudden, when the apostles and the church begin to find out, binding and loosing the key, this is one of the keys. And the first time that key is ever put into effect, and they bind something and they loose angels over here, and that old Testament devil, he comes up and he's ready to do whatever he did before in influence over a city or over, and bam, he meets an invisible force. And he's like, what is this? And Paul said, it was given to us to school principalities and powers, and to teach them of the world which was to come, the glory of this kingdom. And they're thinking, this wasn't in effect in the Old Testament. I could do what I wanted to. Not today. Not today. And you know what they wonder sometimes, though? They wonder why. Now that they've learned and seen this and that there's power in it, they wonder sometimes, why don't they take authority over us? Why are they letting this thing go on so long? Why are they letting this atmosphere in their home or in their marriage or in their finances? They're scratching their head and say, we were schooled in the first century by the apostles, the manifold wisdom of God and the intent of that we should understand what his intent was for the church and power. We were schooled by them. We're watching a generation who lets us run around like spoiled brats, and they won't bind us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says here in Ephesians, we'll just read out the rest of it. 11, he says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, to whom we have boldness and access with the confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. And here we go. For this cause, here's his spiritual prayer. I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Didymus, that's might. Didymus, that's the Didymus power. By his spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, in your spirit, that's the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love. So here we see this whole thing, whole prayer is the whole subject matter of this prayer is love. The whole subject, everything that has everything to do with the might, the power, the demonstration, it's all circumvented around this one thing called love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. He's still describing this room of love, if you will. The breadth, the depth, the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fullness of God. This is us. This is us. This is other peoples and groups that are seeking God for this outpouring. And where is it going? It's going to a great harvest. The revival, which we love to talk about, is coupled with demonstration. For us, healing, sometimes people get a little sideways on this and they don't understand. We say healing is, it's the dinner bell for the world. In other words, it's all for us inside of Christ. It's not necessarily our dinner bell, because that's what we live by. We understand that. That's our bread. That's me and Papa. We live. That's me and Daddy God. He doesn't have to ring that dinner bell for me to come to him. But for the world, they're going to come in here and be healed. Many of them not even yet born again, because Jesus healed really everybody he did heal was not even yet born again. So they're going to come in here. That's going to be their dinner bill, but it's going to progress. It's not just demonstration. It progresses into a place of where the harvest comes in. And the harvest is to bring people in. And then the harvest turns into a reformation. A reformation comes out of a great awakening where people begin a consciousness, even to the world, even to society, begins to affect our laws. It begins to affect the atmosphere in cities. It begins to affect public, you know, councils and different, you know, at schools and colleges. It goes throughout. And God wants a reformation, not just a revival. Now listen, I'm believing with all my heart, and you know how I stand around here. And we do a lot of talking about this. And I'm not ashamed to talk about where we stand politically. And if you hear preachers say, we're not going to get political, come on, man. I don't care what you call it. You better take a stand. And you better let people know where you stand. And we've got to see a change in November, folks. We've absolutely got to stand for it. And praise God, it can happen. And a reformation can take place out of our revival. But listen, bottom line, It doesn't matter. It does matter to me, but it doesn't matter who stands in office. We're going to have our revival because that's the spiritual aspect of it. We're going to have our revival. And again, I take great hope in this because even if my emotions are crushed on November 6th, I'm going to lift up my head from which cometh my help. And know that the first church was conceived where Rome, they worshiped the Caesar. They worshiped, they were polytheistic. They worshiped many gods. They were under extreme persecution to the point, and the church thrived with a revival. So whatever happens in November 5th, it's not going to stop us from having this great outpouring. Hallelujah. But I will say this, it will help tremendously, incredibly. I watched a few days ago an incredible interview with Tucker Carlson. I really like Tucker. And he was interviewing the president of El Salvador. And it was incredible because the guy's, I don't know, young, 35, 40 years old, handsome Spanish guy, speaks fluent English, very intelligent. And but El Salvador is, you know, where the MS-13 gang members come. And those guys don't play. Tattooed from face all the way down, they don't play. They take thrill in killing and mutilating and they've invaded our country. And Tucker was asking him, he said, you know, I heard your inaugural your inaugural speech. And he said, I was listening and it was interpreted to me. He said, but what I understand, let me make sure that I understand this. When you were inaugurated and you were talking, you said, the first thing that I want to do as president, this is the first thing. The first thing I want to do is I want to call on God and ask God for his wisdom over this nation. First thing. Because he said, I can tell you this. He said, El Salvador was the number one nation in the world for crime and violence. He said, we were five times more violent than Haiti. Now, Haiti is right now off the charts. You don't want to go there. The government is not ruling. There's another government that's called the gang government. And you don't know when you're going to be. If you got family there, pray for them. Okay. But he said, we're five times more violent than Haiti. And he said, I asked God, What do I do? And he said, God showed him what to do. And the first thing he did was he built an incredible, and I'd never seen anything like it. It's just mammoth prison. It'll house 40,000 inmates. But he said, we knew this. He said, we knew we had 70,000 MS-13 gang members. And he said, we went in and we declared war on them. And he said, here's the thing. We had all these woke saying, they're people too. You see, here's the thing about it is, and this, I don't care if you think I'm getting political or not. The way that we have to win in the future, we can't care about what somebody says about us. If you're like, oh, they said that, maybe I need to present a better image. I don't care. Say what, if you care about what they say. And he said, I didn't care. I didn't let woke rule me. And he said, I lost about 8 agents in gunfights and battles to win. But he said, it took us 2 years. In 2 years, we arrested and imprisoned 70,000 gang members. He said, we are crime free. In 2 years, we are crime free. No more shootings. No more killings. We put them in jail. And I saw the prison. They don't sleep on comfortable bunk beds. Still beds. If you're going to kill and crime, you need to pay the time. Oh, glory to God. My name is Bronc Flint, and I'm running for the president of 2020. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. We've got a little bit of time. Hallelujah. Are you warm in here, or is it just me? Everybody good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. This is a picture of the outpouring and the Reformation. Look at verse 1. Ezekiel had about 6 different major prophecies in his tenure. Now, he's a contemporary of Jeremiah and also Daniel. But Ezekiel was in part of the captivity. In his first, he starts out Ezekiel, which we can't go into. He's prophesying out of Babylon. He's over there in Babylon. But this is towards the end. In fact, I think this is the last chapter here. But it's prophetic. It's not only just prophetic for their time, it's prophetic for us today. And I want you to watch this and look at it in the propheticness of where we're at and where we're going. Afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house. Now, he's talking about the glory of God here. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the anointing of God coming. And I want us to receive this as first person, whoever you are, wherever you're at, and whatever church you belong to that's believing for this outpouring. He said, at the south side of the altar, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man, which was the angel, of course, that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. 1,000 cubits. He measured out. 1,000 cubits is about 1,750 feet. There's no great revelation in that. Just looked it up. And he brought me through the waters, although I don't know, there might be. He brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankle. Now, I want to stop right here. Ezekiel's seeing this revelation, and he's seeing out of the temple, which we'd say the temple of God in heaven, this anointing that's flowing. And this is where we're at. This is 30 years, almost 30 years of us standing and praying here in Immokalee and other places, praying in well as well, and seed sown for the future of this harvest in the earth. Because in the last days, it's not because I say so, it's because not just we've prophesied it, but there is particular scripture that we've presented in many other teachings, that the word teaches us that in these last days there is going to be a great harvest, an incredible harvest. For that to happen, there has to be an atmospheric change. And an atmospheric change is not something spooky spiritual, but what happens is that demonic powers that have ruled over this region, over Immokalee, over LaBelle, over Southwest Florida, over whatever part of the country that you're living in, they come under the ascendancy and under the authority of this great outpouring. And these demonic spirits begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm being schooled, or I'm being brought under the ascendancy of this authority that the church keeps lifting up. And they're saying, God, send the rain, send the outpouring, send this revival. And when Ezekiel saw this, he said this angelic being to show him what was coming waited him, or took him out, a thousand cubits, and set him down in this river that came from God. And he said it was up where? To the ankle. And he said, I'll read that again. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Now, at this point in time, I'll just tell you, you can agree with this or not, and this is not, it's not something I would debate. I would just tell you, I believe we're at least ankle deep in this outpouring. That's where we're at. And then he says here, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles, or to the knees. There's more coming, folks. Stay tuned. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and they were to the loins, in other words, waist deep. And afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Folks, this is the fullness. This is the fullness of that room of agape. This is that Ephesians room. This is where we're headed. If you think, here's the thing. I want to sell something. I don't know how much I can sell. My son-in-law's a salesman. He can, if he meets somebody, he can, especially in the field he's in, even if they don't want it, they'll want it when he gets done. They'll want it. If I could get a salesman anointing, I have to sell you on this. This is not something that it's achievable and it's permanent. It's innate. Innate means it exists inside of you. It won't always necessarily feel like, I'm not promising you that this place in Ephesians chapter 3 is always a place where you always feel flighty and feel angels wings, and you may go through, you're still going to go through things. But this place that he's asking us to go to, not just corporately, but first individually, is where you offer your tributary to this river. And that your spiritual maturity comes to a place where this is an achievable. Now, it's going to grow, but you go to a place where you impact people's lives. They feel something from you that comes as it's a resident anointing. Can you say that? I want a resident anointing. It's something more than what you've got. And it comes in ankles, it comes in knees, it comes in waist. But folks, we're headed to a swimming place. And that's where the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak. And I'm not going to get to, the rest of this scripture. I've got tons of scripture there. And but if you read this chapter, I encourage you. It says wherever this water touched, It brought forth healing. It brought forth restoration. 47. Yeah, that's in 40, Ezekiel 47. If you read that, and it flowed down, and it emptied in, and it healed the sea. It healed everything. And on the sides of the banks were trees, and their leaves were medicine to the nation. Hallelujah. Great fish came out of this. That's the harvest. Glory be to God. And we can receive this. Some of you have heard my teaching on living to be 120. And I've encouraged people to believe that. And we've put out scriptures, or I said we were going to put a list of confessions, and we're going to get that done right away. Some of you may have, and I'm not trying to find fault. Some of you may have looked at that like, that's a cute revelation. But here's the thing. There's no penalty for not believing for 100 plus. There's no penalty for that. In other words, it doesn't make you more righteous, more spiritual. Well, you can go whenever you want to, and I'm not being sarcastic about that. And many of our great, great fathers, like Smith Wigglesworth, 87, died in a church foyer. He was just ready to go in and preach. That was the perfect man in the sense of the word. Never heard scandal about him. Raised, I think 11 or 12 from the dead, documented. Did incredible, creative. So it doesn't matter, you know, live a long life. But if you don't want to say, a lot of times people want, they won't aspire to the scriptures that we give and the confessions because they think, you know, I don't want to live a long life in the condition that I'm in. In other words, if I'm 80, I don't want to live 40 more years with the pain and the crippling situation that I'm in. And I can understand that. But that's not what we're trying to say. His word is restorative healing. I believe that God actually, in his creative sense of the word, of everything that his promises, he says, you satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. He actually, scripturally, can turn back the clock and add decades of youthful renewal to your body. See, if you think that Abraham and Sarah's conception with Isaac, if you only see that as the miracle for the present, you don't see the whole picture. Yes, she's 90, he's 100. Then God gave them grace. You know, the word said that she was past the way of women. In other words, she had stopped ovulating. And he was no longer able, he was no longer able to produce potent seed. And that, you know, that's as far as I'll go. He couldn't. But what happened to them was not a one-time miracle. That's the shallow end of it. That it was powerful, but it wasn't a one-time miracle. She lived another 37 years after she got renewed. He lived another 75 years, married Keturah, and had 6 more kids with her. He got overhealed. He worshiped God. And you can get, see, it's not that we want to have a bunch of old people so we can have a novelty and say, oh, weird, I know a guy that's 110 or 105. But if you believe at 80 and you're fighting a crippling disease, that 30 years could be restored to your body and you're no longer, then you'll fight for it. He's asking his revivalists to fight for longevity because we're coming in to the end of this race and we can see the finish line and we're saying, hey, there's a great harvest. Let's do it together and we can do this. Because now we're in waters to swim in. Hallelujah. We're going to do this. Amen. Glory be to God. Let's all stand together. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and magnify Him? We glorify you, Jesus. You are worthy to receive praise. You're worthy to receive glory. We thank you for this harvest. We thank you for this outpouring. We thank you, Lord, for where you're taking us. And we thank you, Lord God, that we receive, Lord, this room and this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. A great army you're raising up. A great army. Yes, sir. How? Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Just as I said to my prophet, can these bones live? He said unto me, Lord, you know. And I say unto you, church, and I say unto all those that are watching and all those who believe, this army shall be raised up in these last days, says the Spirit of grace. So speak unto the winds, speak unto the north and to the south and to the east and the west, and say unto them, army, arise, arise, dry bones, arise, and come up out of your graves, for a great harvest is coming in these last days by the Spirit of God and by your authority brought forth in the earth, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we'll do that. Let's just say this as we close. I say that I'm part of the great harvest. I teach principalities. I school devils. I amaze them by the authority of Christ in me. Therefore, I say, north give up. South give up. East give up. West give up. Come forth with a great harvest in these last days. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Enjoy your day and eat a lot. Just to the point of where you have to, oh no, I did. If I have one more bite, I have to say I'm forgiveness. But have a great day. We love you all. God bless. Happy Father's Day.